Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a speaking mentor, coach, and author. My passion is working with introverts, authors, and advocates, helping them to have the confidence to step up and share their message with those who need to hear it. And a happy Thanksgiving Day to all those people who are listening in from North America. And a happy day to everybody else and those in Australia. It's a great Friday morning. Just to check in, if you are in North America and you're listening in, the number to call if you'd like to ask a question for our guest today is 646-716-7979. For those outside North America, the link is tobtr.com/9630329. And if you have a question, you just follow the links and put it in the chat box. Or, of course, as usual, you can just PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions on to our guest. And it's my great pleasure today to welcome our guest, Import for Profits expert Claire Pink. Welcome, Claire. How are you today?
Hey, Trish. Thank you very much for having me here on the show today. I am feeling super excited to share my knowledge all about importing from China. So it's a lovely day here in Brisbane and looking forward to getting into it.
As am I. I think it's a very exciting area that we're going to be discussing today. So I'll be speaking with Claire very shortly, and as she mentioned, about how to make money by importing products, whether you're looking to create a second income stream or to increase the profits of your existing business. So everybody listening in, there's going to be some really valuable tips that Claire is going to share with us. Before we get to that, today's question. Now, as you know, I deal with a question every show, and these are things that either come up from my clients or people send me questions about. And the one we're going to talk about is jargon. Jargon. We all know what jargon is. That's the words that we get used to that are particular to our own industry or expertise. And we get very used to using that jargon when we're talking about what we do. And the problem is, and the question that I get asked is, well, why is it important to be aware of jargon? And should I be aware of how I use it in my presentations? And the answer to that is yes. It is easy to fall into the way we talk when we're talking to other experts in our field, and especially when we're looking at engineers, IT people, digital people, internet marketing people. There's common words that when you're talking to each other, expert to expert, that you just use naturally. The problem is those common words, which we all understand, when we're talking to our clients or to others who are not in our field, those words can become extremely daunting. They're words that they don't understand. So if we use those in our presentations, we are immediately losing connection with our audience or with our clients. You know, for example, in technology, we talk about SEO, we might talk about Facebook AdWords, we might talk about Google. You know, coaches and business coaches might talk about mindset, emotional intelligence. We might say things like tapping. We might even talk about marketing strategy, business plans. Now, for people who are new to any one of those areas, that's almost like a foreign language. And so it becomes very bewildering if we get up there and do our presentations or when we're talking to our clients and we use those words. So we need to think about the words we use when we're speaking with our audience and clients. And sometimes it may take a few extra words that we put in there that will be easier for our client to understand. We might decide to use simpler words to connect. So words that explain what we're talking about. So that instead of sort of saying SEO, we could talk about, well, keywords that people who are searching for your information might use. And those words are what you need to use when you're setting up your website. Things like that. So it might take a couple of extra sentences to put that in there. And if you're doing a presentation, it might be good to use images on a PowerPoint presentation to give an idea of what those words mean. So, yes, it's very simple to fall back into jargon when we're speaking to people. So think about the words you use. Think about using some extra words. Use the simplest words that you can to ensure that your audience or your client understands immediately what you're saying. I'll be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there is something you would like answered, just simply email me on info@trischel.com.au or PM me on Facebook. Leave a message there and leave your question, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Now, let's meet our guest, Claire Pink, Import for Profits expert. And just let me share with you a little bit of information about Claire before we get into speaking with her. Claire knows the power of trading with China by importing over $1 million of products direct for her award-winning business in Victoria Point, Queensland in Australia. Having lived and worked in China for 6 years, she understands firsthand how to minimize mistakes when dealing with Chinese suppliers. Her knowledge and experience is now helping other businesses through her Import for Profits program. Claire takes you step by step to the process of importing, whether you are looking to create a second income stream or increase the profits on your existing business. Claire also runs an award-winning amusement centre, which has been able to grow thanks to importing direct from China. They would never have survived their 8 years in business through the tough times of the global financial crisis if they had not utilised the power of trading with China. And as we'll discover when talking to Claire, this is probably one of the reasons that really pushed her into the importing-exporting business. Hi, Claire. Let's see where we can go. I think that's probably the first place I'd like to start is how did you get into the importing-exporting business?
Okay, great. Great question, Trish. It goes back a fair few years now. Being in the amusement industry, we always used to, as a family, my father, we used to go to trade shows. Generally back then, you're talking over 30 years ago, Asia wasn't as accessible as it is now. So we'd go to trade shows over in America or over in Europe. And to do that, we could actually access the best products at the time to keep up with our competitors. So it's kind of ingrained into me. In the early 2000s, we were able to go over to China to work and actually be part of one of the largest traveling theme parks in Asia at the time called World Carnival. So I spent 6 years over in China and just learned about the culture and how they did business. And really being on the ground really helped me understand how this place worked. So, of course, when we came back to Australia in 2008, it was a no-brainer to actually utilize the power of trading with China for my new business. So that's what I did. So cutting out the middleman actually saved me hundreds of thousands of dollars by not going to the wholesalers in Australia, actually going direct to China and sourcing my products. So I've been able to grow the business ever since. And it's been able now to help other businesses do the same, something I'm very passionate about.
Absolutely, I know, and it's an area that is a bit scary, isn't it? Because there is a lot of stuff involved, and it looks really hard from the outside. So, can you share some of this and maybe demystify some of this? Is it really as scary as it looks?
No, it's not. Hey, listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it, to be honest. If you follow a few, let's say, processes that we've got to go through, and that will really minimize the mistakes that you'll make, which can actually cost you thousands, a lot of money. One mistake, one container goes wrong, there you go, you could lose up to 50 grand, whatever it costs you to get that far. So it's really, really important to follow the process that I step out step by step, and then along the way, I'm here to actually help my clients too. I open up my Rolodex and I help them with the whole step by step things that they've got to go through. So at the end of the day, they've got a viable product, they've got it back to Australia, or it works for America too, at the best possible price, and then they can move forward with their sales.
So, what is one of the biggest mistakes then? Because, I mean, I don't think I'd like to lose, you know, that large of money. So what's one of the biggest mistakes that most importers make when they're starting out?
Sure. 100% due diligence. You must do your due diligence on suppliers. It's so important. You want to make sure that they are who they say they are. You need to have great communication with these guys, so you can actually assess their due diligence. Now, this relationship actually goes from the very first email that you have on your orders. So you really want to make sure you're assessing their communication time. Are they getting back to you in a timely time frame? Does it look like they're interested in exactly what you're saying? Also, you want to really go into the background of the supplier that you're dealing with. It sounds silly, but get on the phone, ring them, ring the phone number that they've given you, see if they're actually on the other end. Also, go on to Google Maps, for example, look them up on Google Maps, check the address is there too, because due diligence is the key. Due diligence is definitely the key. So it all comes into your research and getting yourself set up to start.
Okay, so you mentioned research and due diligence, and I think that's vitally important. So let's just sort of take a next step then. In what sort of things are we talking about when we're importing? What businesses, you know, is it only specific businesses, or is it something all businesses can do? What are we looking at?
Okay, so there's two types of importers. There's the entrepreneur who may be wanting to look to start a second stream of income. They could be looking for products to sell online or in a bricks and mortar shop in a market situation. So they're my entrepreneurs. And then I also have my existing business owners, the business owner. Now, they already have their business set up and running, and they're the ones that are looking to actually unlock the profits in their business by maybe cutting out this middleman, cutting out the wholesaler, and going direct to China to get the consumables in their business. So that could be anything from plumbing supplies to printer cartridges, something that they use a lot of in their business, and they can actually save a fortune going down that track. So that's the two different types of excuse me, that's the two different types of importers. So once you know which ones you're falling into, and then we go into the entrepreneurial side, you really want to start at the beginning and look for a product that you're really passionate in. Because if you don't try and source something that you have some link to somewhere along the lines, it's actually going to come out in your sales down the track. For example, if you're not a dog lover, I don't suggest you go and sell dog products, because that really, really comes down to your sales too. You want to look for something that you are passionate in. For me, it's paddleboarding. I love to get out on the paddleboard. I love to be on the water. I do my best brainstorming on the paddleboard. So maybe if I was looking to do it, I would looking to anything to do with that area. So that's where you really start with your research.
Okay. So the side of the entrepreneur starts the research, and that would be, what would you think suggested the best part of the research? Is that, where should we look? That Googling, talking to people, where would we start with that?
Okay, I always say we start with Alibaba. Now, everybody must have heard of Alibaba. If you haven't heard of Alibaba, it's the biggest online sourcing platform. It's based in Hangzhou in China. Massive, massive company now. It's been around probably, knocking on 15 years now, and they really are the number one. So they have also, to be an interesting point, really picked up their game in the last 10 years. So they have a lot of stringent due diligence protocols that they actually put the suppliers through first. So these are very, very important. So you can jump on Alibaba and do your initial research on there. So you're looking for suppliers. You're looking for suppliers that are gold status. You go in there and you're going to have a little look to see what products they are that they're selling. So this is all about researching your opportunity to sell. Okay, so you really want to see, you're looking for your products. You really want to see what other people are selling these products for too online. So you go on, you can pick your product, say, let's say dog leads. I want to look at dog leads. So I go onto Alibaba, I see what they're going for, I see what the specs are, I'm really interested in taking that further. So then I'd also take it onto to the sites like eBay and see what that particular product is actually selling for on eBay, and then I can assess the profit margin. So you can almost literally take the search engine, the search name that with the product, and then put that straight into eBay and search for the same product. So you can see what your profits are going to be. So that's a really good place to start.
Ah, it sounds good. And once we've done that, then we're looking at sourcing and getting all the stuff. Do we have to get stock over and keep it in a room, or can we do something else?
Yes, things have come a really long way in that side of things. We now have fulfillment warehouses actually situated in China, so you don't even have to bring your products back down to Australia or the US. You can actually hold them in a fulfillment center. So for this, for example, the products come straight from the factory, they go to the fulfillment center, and they will fulfill your orders and ship them to wherever you want in the world. So you don't even have to hold the goods yourself anymore, which is an amazing, amazing breakthrough, which gives you more time to actually put into your marketing, build the relationship with your customers, because you're leaving the actual nitty-gritty of the time-consuming process of having to pack those goods, having to store those goods, and it actually works out quite economical too. So that's a really good way to go.
Oh, I like that idea, the concept of, I had that lovely little vision of having to pack things in a warehouse, something, that could take a lot of time consuming. So this makes it easier, and this is why we hear a lot about, well, I can go to bed and then sell these things when I wake up in the morning and it's all happening automatically. Is it as easy as that, Claire?
Yeah, you can actually make money while you sleep. It is possible by doing that all on your online, having everything set up. You've got your distribution warehouse in China. So as the orders come in, they already hook up into the back end of their website. So the orders automatically go out. So you're not dealing with any of that. You're just the face of your product. They deal with everything else. So yes, you can actually make money while you sleep.
Oh, I like that idea, and I'm sure our listeners do too. However, I think from what you're saying, it's the preparation that you have to do first to be able to do that. Now, we've been speaking before, and you've been mentioning China all the way through, and I know that you're very passionate about China, and you call it one of the untapped places to go. Do you want just to share a bit about why and why that is where you are with that, and why you think China is very an untapped resource?
Okay, people have been trading with China for hundreds of years, thousands of years. They have always been been onto the whole trade commerce. However, I say it's untapped because the general business owner doesn't realize how much money they are wasting by going to the wholesaler in their country, for example, their local wholesaler, and buying these products. Because don't you forget, every single step of the process, somebody is putting on their little gold nugget. The next person is putting on their little gold nugget. The next person, for example. So it really is important to go direct to the manufacturer, to the supplier over in China, because you're missing out all of those little nuggets. And let's just say we can put those little nuggets back in your pocket. So this is very important because it's untapped in the way that the normal business owner traditionally has always gone to the wholesaler. That's what we've done. But with business becoming so tight now, I know I have my amusement arcade. Everything is tight, rent is hard. Businesses are finding it tough these days. It's really, really tough to get by. So if you can increase your profits any other way, this is going to be your key to growth. So it really is an important way to grow your business, to actually go direct to the manufacturer, get the goods, cut out the middle man, and put the money back in your pocket. So this is the bit where I'm saying it's so exciting. So I'm here as a bit of a go between two cultures, I see it, because I understand the way that the Chinese do business. They do business a lot differently from the way Westerners do business. It's all based on Wanxi, okay? So that's the relationship between two people and in business. Chinese have been practicing Wanxi for thousands of years. Okay, and they base their whole concept of business on this. So going back, say, 15, 20 years, contracts were not heard of so much in China. It really wasn't something that came into play because they really did, they assessed your Wanxi, that's who you were connected to, if they could trust you in business, whereas in the Western world, it's all contracts, deadlines. This is how we're going to do it. So the way I work, I actually find myself morphing a little bit more towards how the Chinese do business in trust and relationships. I find it such a great way to do business. It really is. Don't get me wrong. Now in the last 10 years, contracts have come into play in China. So that is great news because that is a way of protecting yourself, protecting your contracts, protecting your purchase orders, and you do have some kind of backup with these contracts. Those people that say, oh, contracts don't mean anything in China, it's a complete waste of time, they are so wrong. It really has come into play now. China is really trying to get back into the Western way of keeping up with the Western way of contracts, and it really, really is an important factor. So, yeah, you get best of both worlds. Now, how exciting is that? You get the best of both worlds. So if you follow the process of importing from China, if you follow it, get your due diligence right, you get your contracts in place, and then you have access to these good profits that you can put back into your business.
Oh, look, that sounds exciting. But one of the things that comes up, and I think that's a fascinating way with the business in China, and probably one of the things that has been a stumbling block for our Western world, because we don't sort of, we think a little bit different, and both places do think a little bit differently. If, you mentioned Alibaba and you mentioned going online, but how do we build up this relationship if it's important from their aspect as to who they do business with? How can we do that when we're here in Australia and we may be doing it online?
Okay, yeah, it's just as important online as it is face-to-face. So it always starts from your very, very first email with these guys, okay? From your very first email, you want to be respectful, okay? You want to be respectful in your language. If you're doing it online, it's still very relevant. So you want to use simple language. Okay, you want to not use lots and lots of exclamation marks or, you know, very strong language, because they're not going to react to that very well. You want to be very concise in your emails. Don't forget, the language over in China is completely different, and not all of the salespeople that you're going to be dealing with have a great knowledge of English. They will be able to get by. So you want to be really, really simple. Don't go straight into a huge blurb of writing, because it's not going to go down very well. Okay? So keep everything simple. And don't forget, the Chinese are actually really quite reserved and quite timid in some cases. So you really want to respect that. Always be thankful. Thank the person that you're dealing with for all their help, because if you think it's going to take you 5 emails to get through your specifications to your supplier, think again. It's going to take you 10 emails. No matter what, it's always happened with me in the past. If I think I'm going to get this through in a couple of emails, it always blows out, and we're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because you've got to get it right. So really, really thank them for that. Thank them for their patience. Thank them for their time. And so that is all about creating your relationship from the very first email. Now, also, when you're up at trade shows, it's very important, too, to really nurture that relationship, be respectful, shake hands in order of seniority, so always go to the person who's the head of the company first. And this sounds really funny, but I always take a you know those little kangaroos, Trish, the little
yes.
Plush kangaroos that you clip onto things. Well, I
yes.
always take them with me wherever I go, because you're giving somebody it's part of their culture to actually give a present when you actually first meet somebody. So I always put a little business card. I tie it around the little arm of the kangaroo and give it to them, and they love it, because obviously the irony is 100% guaranteed that little kangaroo or koala has actually been made in China, right? So that breaks the ice.
I was just going to say that.
It kind of breaks the ice, and it's a bit of fun. And always explain, you know, always start your conversations with a bit of chit-chat, you know, talk about the weather, talk about family. Family are really, really important in China too. Talk about your kids, talk about whatever it is that comes up into your mind. Don't go straight into the jugular of business. Business cards. It's very, very important. When you're giving a business card to your supplier or your Chinese or a prospective partner up in China, that you use two hands, okay? Because that's a sign of respect.
Okay. I want to talk a bit more about that, but we might just take a little bit break so I can just get back to my listeners here, and I'll come back to you in a minute, because I want to talk to you a bit more about the trade fair and about speaking, and especially the Canton fair, because I want to hear about some of your experiences over there. So you are listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish, and we are coming live right around the world. If you're in North America and you have a question and you'd like to call in and ask your question, call in on 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America and you'd like to call in with a question, just follow the links from tobtr.com 9630329. Follow the links to the chat room, put your question there. Or, of course, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your question on to Claire. We are speaking with Claire Pink, Import for Profits expert. And up to now, Claire has shared some absolutely, I believe, valuable information for making that first connection, whether you're an entrepreneur or a business who would like to get out there and add some value to your business or add some extra money to your business. And so we've been sharing some information on that. Now, I'm going to come back to you, Claire, but I just have a caller online, so I'll just see if we can let them in and see what they have to say. Hello, welcome. You have a question for Claire? Hello. Do you have a question? No, they must be just calling in listening, so no problems there, Claire. We'll come back to them later if they've got a question. We were talking about trade fairs, and we were leading up to being able to talk with and speak with the Chinese and some of the polite ways of doing that. Could you just sort of tell us a little bit more about what happens when you go up to the Canton Fair? And actually, what is the Canton Fair?
Okay, the Canton Fair. Now, the Canton Fair is the biggest trade show in China. It covers all sorts of, pretty much the whole array of products available in the factory of the world. So it runs through twice a year. Okay, so it's in April and October, and they have three sessions which have different products at each session. So each session, for example, the first phase will have, I think it's more the car parts and baggage and things like that. The second section is the premium, and that's into your toys and your gifts, your cosmetics, everything, every product you can think of is at the Canton Fair. Now, it is the most exciting place in the world, I can tell you. You walk up on site and the hairs on the back of your neck just stand up. The atmosphere is electric. It's awesome. Why is this? Because of the opportunity. People can see the opportunity of all these products, so you've got the opportunity to actually go up to the suppliers, talk to them, find out what products they've got, get their MOQs, which is the minimum order quantities, actually start that relationship. So the one of the biggest reasons why it's important to go to the Canton Fair is because as a supplier, they see you as a really good a good buyer, because you have made you've made time, you've spent the money, you've invested the time and the money to go up to the Canton Fair and actually see what is going on there. So they see you as a great buyer, a great lead in the first place. So they're really going to do their best to actually trade with you. There is massive halls, and if I could try and explain to you how big they are. Each hall is, 10 football fields, and the halls just go as far as the eye can see. It is the most exciting place. Now, it really is the best place for the new products. People always deliver their new products at Canton Fair time. So you're getting the latest things that are on the shelf at the moment, okay? So it's really good if you're trying to keep up with your competitors. You want to get out there, you want to see what products are new, what the vibe is, what the latest nexus greatest thing is going to be, and then you can go from there. Trade shows are really, really good for this. One example that I'd have is about 18 months ago, probably knocking on 2 years ago now, we saw the Kinetic Sand. Do you remember the Kinetic Sand that's been all over the shops over the last 12 months?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that and we thought, wow, this is going to be a fantastic product. So you've got to get the jump. So you're there 2 years before these things come out. So this is how important it is to actually get up to these trade shows and be on the ground and see what products are available.
Absolutely. Okay, I've got a question about the trade fairs as well and then the Chinese market that's just come through for you. And so while we're talking about that, this is a really opportune time, so I might just stop you a bit there. The question is from Tan, and Tan is asking how to tap into the Chinese market when you don't have any contacts or know any people with contacts.
Okay, great question. Thank you, Tan. Okay, so contacts, yes, contacts are tried and tested. So along the way, you will pick up contacts as you go. The best way, like I said in my bio, I've got three very, very important words for you. Go to China. Okay, so this is where the magic really, really happens. And I actually, I take my clients over to China. I take them to the Canton Fair. I take them to the Hong Kong trade fairs. And we really, we create our own contacts through these missions that we go on. So coming back to your question, always start, you're starting online. Like I say, you want to start online, create your relationships online. If you can't make it to China, go online, create your relationships, and actually go through the process from there. You will actually pick up your contacts along the way. And as for other key people that are included in the whole process, because don't forget, you need your shipping agents, you've got your freight forwarders, you've got your customs brokers. These are really, really important contacts too. So I always help my clients out with those contacts. I've tried them, I trust them, I've used them for years, and that's how my clients go forward.
Okay, so I think the question would be, maybe our listeners, if they're really wanting to get into that, is contact Claire, because Claire has the contacts you need, and she can prepare the waters for you. Is that right, Claire?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to bash ideas about on and actually guide you through the whole process so you can minimize your mistakes. Because let's face it, over the years, I've made mistakes. I've done some doozies, to be honest. But I am here to help you through it so you don't make the mistakes that I did along the way. And so my Import for Profits program actually takes you through all that. And you'll actually see how to not go down rabbit holes along the way and save you thousands.
Ah, and that's the fast track. However, if people want to do it themselves, it's a slow process. Start with the emails. Use some of the tips that you just were mentioning about the emails, about how they write, and just build up that relationship like we do with any social media, I would say. Would that be correct, Claire?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And for anybody listening today, if you do want me, if you shoot me an email, I'll give you my email at the end. I can actually send you a sheet of the process of importing from China. That's where I've actually broken it down into 13 steps, where you actually go through one by one and get your process right. So if anybody would like that, I'm quite happy if you get in touch with me, I can pass that along.
I'm sure our listeners will do that, because I think that would be extremely valuable and maybe clear the air. Because I know myself, whenever I think about importing, exporting, my eyes start to glaze over and I'm thinking it's an extremely complicated process and I have no idea where to start. So a 13-step process would be useful, and then coming to talk to you would be even more useful, I believe.
Sure.
I'd like to go back to... We were talking about, just before the break and before we answered that question from Tan, I think you mentioned business cards, and we're talking about meeting people in at the Canton Fair, and there is a process with the business cards, isn't there? What are we into that?
Yes, that's right. So you always give your business card to the person with two hands. So that's one hand either side of the business card. And it's also etiquette to, if somebody offers you a business card, you take it. You don't just shove it in your back pocket, okay? So you want to have a little glance at it, turn it over and say, oh, yes, so you really want to acknowledge that business card and thank them for it and put it somewhere safe. Don't just shove it in your back pocket or shove it in your bag. So you really want to hold it, because that to them is, you're showing respect for them, and that comes down to your WANSI. So, again, the relationship between the supplier and the buyer is so, so important, because you'll be surprised if you go straight to the Canton Fair without knowing all these things, okay, and you rock up to your supplier and you say, I want this, or how much is that? They will see you coming a mile away, guys, okay? They will know you're a newbie to this. They know that you're inexperienced in importing, and straight away, your quotes have just gone through the roof, all right? So that is what's going to happen. So you want them to know that you are experienced at this and that they can trust you, because they're looking for good buyers as well as we're looking for good suppliers, okay? It's all a good relationship. So So it's really, really important that you don't just rock up to the Canton Fair and think you're going to do your thing, because there's so many factors. A, it's so big, you'll never find your way around. B, you might say the wrong thing and your quotes are going to go through the roof. So it's really important that you just take time to do your research and educate yourself before you go.
And that just lays a question for me. There's a cost to go to the fair. Can anybody go into one of these trade fairs, or do you have to already have a relationship with someone? I know going with you would be the best way, but if some of our listeners or maybe overseas or that can't meet up with you, what's the process?
Okay, so it's not too hard. All you do is you register online, so you register via badge. If anybody's ever been to any other trade show before, it's exactly the same. You register your details, and then they send you the badge. And then when you actually get to Canton Fair, it's very, very strict. Okay, so you need to actually show your passport, business card. So they want to know that you're a reputable buyer, basically. So once you've passed that, which is not hard, they're only really after some details for you. And then you're free to walk through the door. It costs, I'm pretty sure they have an early bird where it's actually free to register. I think if you rock up on the day, you have to pay, but usually it's actually free. And it's definitely well worth a visit.
Ah, brilliant. I think it would be. And I could just imagine, from my perspective, just being able to go and have a look around without even buying anything would be an eye-opener. And I know for a couple of people I know, just being able to see the latest technologies and stuff that comes out could be interesting as well. There are other fairs, aren't there? You briefly mentioned Hong Kong. What other ones could you recommend that people should visit?
Okay, so Hong Kong is also a hub of sourcing for the Chinese market. Hong Kong is a stepping stone between the stepping stone up to China. So you'll find there's HKTDC, which is the Hong Kong Trade and Development Council. They do amazing trade shows, and they're pretty much on. There'll be one every week held at the Hong Kong Convention and Exhibition Center down in Wan Chai. So that is a really accessible place to go for your industry. So you need to hop onto their website and have a little look at when their trade shows are. So that's a really, really great place to source products. They also have an amazing, actually in the Hong Kong Convention and Exhibition Center, they've got an amazing place called the SME Center. And this place has a library, like for any book nerds out there, you would just die and go to heaven. It's got a library of all to do with import, export. It's such a great resource. You can actually make a booking and go and see somebody, and they will help you with your sourcing. It's a free service. It's paid for by HKTDC. They have all the online portals. You can access there. And the best thing are the staff. They're so happy to help you. You can even just go in there and sit there and take it all in. I really, really do. If you do go to Hong Kong to a trade show, I do recommend a visit to the SME Center downstairs in the exhibition center. They're also out by the airport. There is a permanent exhibition hall that always has something on. All the different industries are represented there. So it really is a great hub to go to. And it's accessible too, because sometimes people find stepping up over into China a little bit scary sometimes if they've never been before, where Hong Kong is much more accessible in that way. So it really is a little pot of gold there. Also in China, they run industrial clusters. So for example, if you want one particular product, you'll find that one city just deals with that one product or one industry. Okay, so you can actually head to that place and they will have your industries. So if it's printer cartridges, for example, or if you deal with toys, or if you deal with sports products, you'll find that there is an industry trade show probably twice a year, most definitely once a year. Sometimes they do it twice a year, and you can actually access those trade shows. So they're a little bit more, I don't want to put the word, a little harder to access the Chinese ones, because obviously you're heading into China, there's not as much English, whereas in Hong Kong, you can, they all speak English, and they're all really, really, really great.
So perhaps for our listeners, Hong Kong could be a good stepping stone just to get a feel for how a trade show works and then move on to China when you've got that feel. Would that be a good way of doing it?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely recommend that. I mean, what we do when we do it, we always, there's a whole line. You'll find that the one in Hong Kong will be the week before Canton Fair, so you can go to Hong Kong, you can catch that one, and then you go over to the border, then you go to Canton Fair, and then you can head up to Yiwu, because Yiwu's will be on a couple of days later, and then back down to Hong Kong for another one. So, yeah, they tend to put them all in a row, so you can actually access them. I think I did, in my best, I think I did about 7 trade shows in 10 days once. So,
wow.
Yeah, you can pretty much hit them as hard as you want, which is really, really great.
I reckon that could be overwhelmed by the time you got back. You'd have to process all the way through there. And that. Now, is it just China and Asia? I think you mentioned that there used to be, what other ones in Europe or are still good ones to go to, or is it really the better way to go closer to us here in Asia?
We're heading over to Asia now is the number one. Over in Europe, it's got a little bit more expensive. So I really do suggest you just hit Asia, because basically that's the factory of the world. China's the factory of the world. That's where everything's getting made now. So I would be specifically targeting Asia.
Yep, go to the source point. Sounds good to me. Okay. Well, I've absolutely enjoyed speaking with you. A couple of other questions I was wanting to ask you. I think what motivates you?
What motivates me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's exhausting.
I could talk all day with a mouthful of marbles about China. I am so passionate about the place. Coming from when I first went to live there in the early 2000s, it was a whole different world, okay? It was a whole different world back then than what it is now. And I've really got to know about how that place ticks. And to me, it is one of the best places to do business. It really, really is. And that's what drives me, is the opportunity. And if I can do it, just an English girl, if I can do it, I think anybody can. So that's why it's accessible. And I'm just here to break down all the stigma about it. Okay, so it's not hard to get up there and give this a go. So that's what really drives me, and seeing the opportunity available for other business owners. And if I can get out there and help other business owners grow their business like I've been able to, and save them the money and create a better lifestyle for themselves, or if they're looking for a second income, maybe this will really, really hit the mark. So, yeah, that's what it's all about. Again, it comes down to my relationship side. Being in China for all that time, I really, really work on the relationships. And if I can have relationships like that with my clients and my suppliers, it all helps to make everybody work better together. So yeah, that's where I'm driven from.
And I think that's wonderful, Claire, because I think you're an inspiration. I'm just going to touch briefly on one of the things you said then, because there may be, as we know, that a lot of small businesses, and the majority of small businesses in Australia, are owned and run out of home-based businesses by women. And so it's an inspiration to see that you, as a woman in, because we have this thing about maybe in China they don't do business very well with women. So to hear you say that you can go there and you can do it is an inspiration. Do you want to just share some things about that?
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, small businesses are the driver of our economy. And obviously, women are a massive part of that. So we don't always have the access to going back to the work. Maybe the there's some mums out there working from home. So this really is a great opportunity for them. And we are the driver of the economy. So these small businesses, if they can get out there and prosper, it all helps. It helps Australia. It helps the whole country. So, yeah, you're exactly right, Trish. It's a real big driver there.
Yeah, and the fact that you've been able to go to China and you have this relationship in China means that those, like myself, yeah, like females and that, don't have to be scared about going there and worried about, well, they won't do business with me because I'm a female. Have you ever had any issues with that?
Oh, no. No, I haven't, to be honest, because I go in there and I'm strong and I'm I follow the process like I'm supposed to follow it. Obviously, if I went in there and I was a little bit, maybe I was a little bit timid and showed my that I was a beginner at this, yes, they may have an issue with it. And in the fact that it only shows up in your quotes, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you're in there and you go there and you follow protocol basically, so you're asking the right questions, you're talking the lingo, there's absolutely no reason why they won't take you seriously as a woman. Definitely not.
Absolutely. And you have the inspiration there. If we just model what you've done and follow the processes you've put in place, then there's no reason why we can't have a really brilliant import-export business. A couple of last questions because of our time. I told you we would run out of time. We'd have so much to talk about with China. I mean, I love China myself. Biggest lesson that you can pass on, the biggest lesson that you've learned?
The biggest lesson that I've learned would definitely come back to due diligence. Don't take anything at face value. At the end of the day, if you were dealing with Australians, you'd still want to know their background, their business, and you'd still do a little bit of research. Exactly the same when it comes to importing and dealing with China. Okay, don't take things at face value. Do your due diligence and minimize your mistakes. And also I would say, too, along the way, looking back at the mistakes I have made, is also be strong with your suppliers in that, like, obviously wood is not allowed into Australia, okay? And I remember a couple of orders I made at the beginning of my journey, so to say. I wasn't strong enough on telling them that everything had to be on a non-wooden pallet. So a few times that came through, and you'd get there, and there'd be wooden pallets, and then they'd say, oh, but you didn't tell me not to put it on a wooden pallet. And you're like, well, okay, I didn't tell you, but I thought you presume that they're going to do what you want them to do, but you don't take anything at face value. You have to have everything down to the last T. So that comes down into your emails. You tell them not just once, you tell them twice or three times. Please remember, Australia doesn't allow wooden pallets. Please make sure it's a non-wooden pallet. So that's basically not taking it face value.
Gold for our listeners. I think that's brilliant. Let's not take the same amount of time to learn those lessons. Claire has shared them with you. Okay, Claire, you've got a special offer for our listeners if they want to work with you and take a quick start and shortcut to getting there. What is that?
Sure. Okay, I have an online program, Import for Profits. It's actually a module program, and you go step by step, self-paced. So you watch the videos, you go through the workbooks, and you can actually then apply the learning to your importing journey as you go. Now, I've actually dropped that because it's the end of the year, and I want everybody to have a kick-ass 2017 import strategy going. So you can have these profits coming in from 2017 is going to be the best year. It's going to be the best year for all of us. So I've actually dropped the price down to $197 until January. And then I'm also offering to the first five people to join up, I'll spend an hour with you one-on-one via the phone. and actually go through everything with you, and you can ask me any questions you want, and I'll actually help you get started in this. So how's that for an offer?
I think that is absolutely stupendous. So people, get on. Can they go to do this?
Yep, if you jump online to www.importforprofits.com and you can sign up there, and I'll see you on the other side, and then we can spend a bit of time together and see what it is you're actually looking for and how I can help you get through that process quicker, so we can all have a really good 2017.
Anybody that doesn't take Claire up on that offer, we've been listening to Claire Pink, import-export expert. She has the information to help you. She can quick start your business and save you a lot of time. So get on board and take her up on that offer. One last question for you, Claire. I've enjoyed speaking with you. My last question is, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Oh, fabulous question, Trish. What makes a great speaker? Now, being somebody who, at the beginning of this, when I started actually coaching and teaching my Import for Profits program, it was probably public speaking with confidence. Having the confidence. Confidence really, really shines through. And I think if you really need to work on your confidence. Mine wasn't always as good as it was now, so I've been on a bit of a journey. So those who do struggle with the public speaking, I totally understand. It is getting that confidence right, I think.
Absolutely. Get your confidence right, get your speaking skills up, and you too can go to China and be a great import-exporter. Claire, I've thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. It's been an honour. As I said, we could speak for ages, but we've run out of time. Hopefully, I may be able to get you back on again later and talk more about China and the Canton Fair. Thank you for sharing your information with us.
Oh, thank you, Trish. The honour's all mine.
Okay. Before we go, I'd just like to finish up, as usual, with a quote. And I've actually got a couple of quotes, I think. The first one is an Italian proverb, and it goes, "The buyer needs 100 eyes, the seller but one." Think about it. The buyer's looking around all over the place. The seller, if you've got everything in place, you are just looking for that one person, that one person. And if you need help with that, you go to Claire, because she'll help you even narrow that down more. And
that's
the other one
that
really thanks, Claire. And the other one that really actually resonates with me is by John D. Rockefeller. And I think it really applies for this business. "I do not think there is any other quality so essential to success of any kind as the quality of perseverance. It overcomes almost everything, even nature. So if you first don't succeed, keep persevering." Thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish, a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. If you would like to book a complimentary strategy session with me, contact me at info@trischel.com.au, or connect with me on Facebook or my website, trishspringsteen.com, to book me to speak at your event. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.